Everyone, let's all stand and we'll begin in a time of worship. Dear God, we come before you. God, you're amazing, and we're grateful, Lord, that you've brought us here, Lord, once more, a new week, Lord, a new day. And God, we just pray, God, that we would be able to enter this place of worship right now, Jesus, and that you would prepare our hearts, God, for not only for the worship part of the service, Lord, but through your word as well. So, God, we pray once again that you would guide this time, Lord, through your spirit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Here I am to worship. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing all the saints.
And all
day and night.
Day and night, night and day, late incense arise. Day and night, night and day, late incense arise. Day and night, night and day, late incense arise. Day and night, night and day, late incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And you are worthy of it all.
Jesus, we thank you because you loved us from the beginning, Lord, and you formed us, Lord, in your image. You freed us from all sin, Jesus, and from our own sin, Lord, and you did it by your blood. And now you've made us a kingdom, God. You made us priests before your Father. And that is why, Lord, we sing of your worthiness, Lord. You deserve all the glory. And let that be a truth, God, that we sing.
Cries out, Lord, my soul cries out. Lord, we thank you so much for gathering us here tonight, and we just look forward to getting into your word and just being reminded, Lord, not only of your sovereignty, but of your faithfulness. And Lord, no matter where we're at in life right now, no matter what's going on in our life, we know that as we gather in this place, you have a desire to speak to us. So God, come and do what you do best, and that is transforming our lives from the inside out. We are so thankful that we have a living hope, and that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. So Lord, here we are, as your children, speak to us, we ask in this, all of this in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Hope and pray everyone's doing well. Please have a seat. Oh, you could greet one another. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Tonight we're going to be in Exodus, and so I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles, please turn to chapter 3. We'll complete the chapter tonight, and if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. One of our ushers will make sure that you get one, and if you do not have one personally, you can keep that one. We want everybody to have a copy of the Word of God, and so just raise your hand if you don't have one. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All right. Exodus chapter 3. And before we do jump into our study, I just want to remind everyone that if you are interested in getting baptized on Sunday, there's still time for you to do that. We just want to encourage you to sign up at the Connection Center. I was told that the water's warm. Okay, that's what I was told. We'll find out. But I'm pretty sure it will be. And you guys will be blessed if you partake in it. So please sign up at the Connection Center if you would like to do that. And then if you're here, I want to invite you to just stick around. It's always a blessing to have the family of God celebrating that day as well as people are making that public declaration of them following the Lord and that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And so we could do that as a family. And so come on out and be a part of that. Sound good? Yes. All right. How many of you are cold tonight? It's a little cold out there, isn't it? All right. Chilly, yes. Let's all stand. Chapter 3 of Exodus, we're going to look at verse 13. We'll begin in verse 13. And we'll read a few verses and then pray. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' And what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you again for this night, and Lord, what a blessing that we have to open up your word. And we pray as we are going through this specific section of scripture, as you revealed yourself to Moses, God, I pray, and I know that you have a desire to reveal yourself to all of us. And we can see, Lord, similarities, I believe, within this passage of how you desire to speak. And so I pray that as we are here, that you would be our teacher. So come, Holy Spirit. Please block out the events of this day that we may hear from you. So bless this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. You know, as we've been going through chapter 3 of Exodus, you know, it's been amazing to see just the story unfold of Moses' life and his calling that he received from the Lord. And remember with me that Moses was caring for his father-in-law's flock on the backside of Mount Horeb. And it was here that God appeared to him. And it was through this burning bush that Moses' attention was drawn to. And of course, this was not a regular sight for anybody, you know, to see a bush on fire and yet not being consumed definitely aroused Moses' interest. And as the Lord saw that he caught his attention, it was there that God spoke to Moses and called him by name. You remember he called him twice? I thought that was kind of funny as I was looking at it again. There was probably no other Moses around, right? Yeah, I chuckled too. But anyways, God called him by name. And again, it was a significant meaning. To call somebody twice by their name meant that they were significant, that God had a special attention to them, but more importantly, that God had a desire to really speak out to Moses. And sure enough, God gave him some instructions, revealed his plan to deliver his people, and then we witnessed how God spoke and told Moses that, hey, I'm going to use you to do it. And of course, after hearing God's plan, Moses immediately came up with excuse number one. And if you remember what that excuse was, who am I to stand before Pharaoh? You know, how am I as a human being going to be able to stand up against the most powerful person in the universe? And I know probably for a fact, just like Moses or just like us, how many of us have ever, like, said this, you know, to yourself, like, I don't really think that God could ever use me. I don't think I have anything special to offer God. You know, as I've been in the ministry for quite some time, I've come across people who have walked with the Lord for a great number of years, and they've confessed at times to say, I really don't know what my calling is. And I want us to understand and know that God does have a calling for everybody. And even though those things might be running through your mind, I want you to notice how God was gracious to Moses. I want you to remember with me that, you know, even though these thoughts in his mind must have been like, I'm just way too old to serve the Lord. I mean, he's 80 years old at this time. I'm pretty sure Moses at the time may have even felt like a failure. Remember what he tried to do 40 years earlier. And yet that's what caused him to flee out of Egypt and thinking that he was going to be God's deliverer in his own way. And the result didn't happen the way that he wanted to, so he runs. And now another 40 years passed. Can you imagine how many times he thought about what he did wrong? And so now he's living out in the desert where nobody would be interested in looking for him, and here comes God. And I just pray that that would be a picture that you would hold on to, because God will always have the ability to meet you and to reach you no matter how far you may think you are. And so God speaks and he, you know, reveals himself to Moses. And again, he says to Moses, you know, you're not going to do this alone. I'm going to be with you. And as God shared these things, the picture that I wanted us to walk away with is the same God who cared for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God who cared for Moses and the same God who cares for us. And so as God revealed these things to Moses, now we're picking up in verse 13, and he says this, questions God a second time. Moses said to God, notice what he says, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And so, you know, this is Moses, again, just having this dialogue with God. So if I do go, God, and your people ask me, what is your name? What shall I tell them? And that's a pretty legit question. But the importance of a name, listen, would reveal by what authority Moses would be operating in. So in other words, he's kind of like, what kind of name can I drop that people will believe that they need to listen to me? Now, I don't know if you've ever come around people who drop names. I am not one to do that, except for once. I remember going into the prison or the detention center in Las Vegas, and I had gotten special privilege by the lieutenant one day to bring in my guitar. Now, think about this. It's against the policy to bring in any wire that can strangle somebody. And here I had six of them. So I'm walking into the detention center, right? And I could just see the officers at the scanning machine just looking at me going, what does this guy think he's doing? And so I walk in, I have my Bible in one hand, I have my guitar in the other, I open it up, I let them see it, I put my stuff down, go through the scanner, and he's like, where do you think you're going? And I'm all like, Lieutenant Taylor, give him a call. He said I could bring it in. Here, I'll spell out his name, Lieutenant Taylor. I was dropping his name like mad. And sure enough, they're all like, really? And I walked through, got up to the floor, did worship, and even the chaplains came back and, or the next few days, gave me a call like, hey, who do you know that you had special permission to bring in this guitar? And I feel like this is where Moses is at. What name am I going to drop? Who am I going to be able to tell them that, hey, I'm under God's authority here. What name do I need to give them? And so sure enough, as Moses brings this question to the Lord, notice what he answers in verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So God gives him an answer. And the name that God gives to Moses is literally, I am. This was not a new name that both Moses nor the nation of Israel would be fascinated by. They should have known God's name. And so God gives Moses his personal name, which is translated Yahweh, which means the one who is self-exist. He is the self-existent one. And what this is telling us is this. When he says, I am who I am, what God is saying here is there is no equivalent to me. If you put God in one side, the only other rightful person would be God himself. There is no equal to him. There is only one true and living God. And this is what I pray that we would understand about the very God who created everything into this world, is that he's a personal God. Do you realize the amount of love that God has for you, that he wants to be in a personal relationship with you? That's pretty cool. You know, the one who spoke everything into existence knows you by name, that he would want to walk with you and spend all of eternity with you. You know, we're so fickle, right, as people. We can love one another one minute, and the next minute, you know, we want to, like, I don't even want to see that brother or sister, right? Am I the only one? Come on now. Don't make me look bad, church, even though I'm the pastor, okay? Isn't it so true that sometimes people can get underneath our skin and we don't want to see them? But isn't it a blessing that God doesn't think that way of us? And so not only is he personal, but he is eternal. Even before, in the very beginning of Genesis, before anything was created, he already existed. He is the self-sufficient creator, and he is the sustainer of all things. You know, the one thing that blows me away about God in the very beginning of creation is how he spoke and everything came into existence. That's some pretty amazing power. But yet, the other thing that I pray we would see just from God's name is that knowing that he is the self-existent one, that he is the sustainer of all things, he's the creator of all things. The other important thing to understand and remember about God is he never changes. He never has a bad day. He never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. And the other thing that we can hold true as we're going to look at this passage tonight is that he always keeps his promises. He never fails. The one thing that we need to understand is that God works on his own timetable, not ours. And so as we are looking at him explaining who he is, this is the name again that that God told to Moses, give to my people. And the other reason for him giving this name listen, is to challenge both Moses and the nation of Israel. Remember Moses, who your parents told you about. Remember who it was that brought that conviction into your heart when you were living in luxury and, you know, Pharaoh's palace. There was such a strong conviction in your heart that you would rather suffer with your people than to live that life of pleasure and be a part of the harem of Egypt. Who do you think it was that spoke to you? Who do you think it was that put that into your heart? It was me. How about for the nation of Israel? In the same way that God took care of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would take care of them. And I know what many of you may be wondering, well, why did God take so long? Why did God allow all of this ugliness to happen in their life? And the reality is God will allow circumstances into our life in order for His will, and His purpose to be accomplished. And if that means that sometimes we go through some affliction, maybe that's your burning bush. Because without that affliction, maybe you would never turn to God. Because I think if we were all real in this place, how many of us get real spiritual when we're in trouble? But when everything is going good, sometimes there's not even a praise the Lord. We just go about our day happy, knowing that we got a few zeros in our bank account. But when we're needing answers, when we're needing the Lord, oh man, our prayers get so much more earnest, so much more passion that we get on our knees at times or even fall on our face. By God declaring, I am, has sent you, Yahweh, what is He wanting both Moses and the nation of Israel? Come back to believing in who I am. And I hope and pray that tonight, again, I don't know every heart. I don't know where anybody, you know, where everybody's at. But if there's been some challenges in your life right now that you wonder, where is God? Remember, I am is still with you. He is the same God. He's not a new God. And all throughout the scriptures, we see His faithfulness. And if He's been faithful to His people, He will be faithful to you. And so not only did He want His people to be challenged to come back to trusting and believing in Him, but again, the I am is the one who sent Moses. Tell them, the one and only true God, Yahweh, has sent you. And so in the next set of verses, from verse 15 up to verse 22, God's going to continue to give Moses, listen, some further instructions. Notice what else He says. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And so when we look at what God is revealing to Moses here, this is what I want you to communicate to my people. And again, He wanted them to understand and know that the same God, again, of their forefathers is who revealed Himself to Moses. Moses wasn't just going under some notorious name or something else like that. God wanted them to know that He sent them. And you know, one of the things that I pray that is important, even with this, it blesses me when I'm in town and there's certain times when people will kind of share these things with me about the church. Now, I'm not going to drop names here, but what blesses me is that they'll say, you know, I know so-and-so who goes to Calvary, and man, I know they love Jesus because of this, this, and this. And what they're saying is I see what God is doing in their life. And then they say these words, man, whenever they tell me something, I know I can believe them. That's pretty powerful testimony. To have a testimony like that and to know that if a name has been given, that name's so trustworthy that you would believe, whatever else is said. And I think that's powerful. I think today that's been lost in our culture. It's been lost in our society, where people no longer trust one another. But sure enough, God wanted his people to know, I am the one who sent Moses, so you know you can listen to him. And so not only did God say this, and God wanted Moses to repeat this, but notice this, this is the same exact name that I want future generations to know. Again, not a different God. I want you to continue to tell the testimony. I want you to continue to tell people how faithful I have been throughout all generations. And so this is something that I pray, you know, that we would also take advantage of. You know, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's pretty amazing when you watch the news, and if there's a servant of the Lord, a pastor specifically, if he's pastoring a pretty mega church, a pretty big church, and if that pastor falls because of adultery, it is amazing how fast that news gets on the secular TV channels. It fascinates me that the moment that a servant of God falls or something happens to a church in a negative way, it's all over the news. But how many of you have seen on CNN or Fox News about the revival that's been happening for the last 13, 14 days? When was the last time that we've seen the testimony of what God's doing throughout the Harvest Crusades every year? When Angel Stadium is packed out and many people are making confessions of faith, nobody's testifying to those things. And yet we know that Greg Laurie and Harvest are bringing updates on their social media. But this is good news. And how sad it is that we don't get to hear it. That we don't get that much, you know, a testimony time. It is amazing that that revival in some way is still going on. I don't know what God's going to do with it. But listen, he's moving. He's moving. And those people are testifying. And when those people are testifying, other people stand up and other people begin to testify of what God is doing. And as people continue to share that one likeness and that one heart, God's spirit is being poured out and God is moving. And I pray that for us and even for next generations, that they would know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That they would know of his faithfulness. And the only way that they're going to know is if we pass it on. Is if we continue to share about the one and only true God. And so, as we look at what God told to Moses, again, this is going to be my name for future generations. This is who I want them to know about, what I want them to know about me. Verse 16, notice what he says. Go, he gives him further instructions. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. So in verse 16, God's instruction to Moses was just go to the elders. Go to the leaders of every single one of the tribes of Israel. I want you to communicate with them very clearly how I appeared to you. I want you to tell them exactly how it went down. And again, he tells them, the God of your forefathers has sent me to you. But the other thing that God wanted Moses to reveal to his people was this. I see what you're going through. I see the way that the Egyptians are treating you. I've seen it all, and now, not only have I seen it, but I'm getting ready to do something about it. And sure enough, what did God want them to know? Look at what verse 17 says. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, right? All of those other sites as well, to the land flowing with milk and honey. So now Moses is revealing to the nation of Israel, as God spoke to me, and as he's seen everything that's going on, now you need to know what his plan is. And in short, what is this verse revealing? God has a plan to deliver you from this. From this place of Egypt. From the place where you're being afflicted. I'm going to rescue you from that. I'm going to take you out of this place of slavery. And now I'm going to bring you to a land. And the picture that he paints here, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. This is going to be complete opposite of what you're experiencing in Egypt. It's a 180 degree turn. And not only is it going to be a beautiful place, but the picture and the imagery that he gives us of this flowing of milk and honey, again, it represented the abundance that God would provide for them. Do you recall what God revealed to Adam and Eve back in the garden? I planted you here, and whatever you want to eat, any of those trees in the garden, go for it. Except for these two, hands off. But everything else in the garden is yours. Now, if we know, listen carefully, if we know that everything that God created was good, and every single tree that bear its fruit was good, why would they want a tree that he said no to? And again, we know that they were deceived, right? But everything that God provided for them, they would never, ever have to leave the garden. God had, I'm pretty sure that every single one of those trees and every single one of those fruit, man, had different flavors, different taste. I'm pretty sure there was a fruit that tastes like a burrito. But anyways, that's my opinion. Okay? But the point is that God provided. And this is the picture. I'm not only going to take you out of this slavery, but I'm going to bring you to a land where there's going to be an overabundance of provisions for you that you'll never have to worry ever again, because I'm going to take care of you. And so not only was this God's plan, and again, from slavery to freedom, I have come to rescue you. Now notice what verse 18 says. Then they, speaking of the nation of Israel, will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to our Lord, to the Lord our God. So in verse 18, God now reveals to Moses, listen, I'm already going to tell you before it happens how the nation of Israel is going to respond to you. You haven't gone there, but once you reveal to them what I tell you, they're going to believe. Their response is they're going to not only believe, but they're going to follow you. And he told them this before it actually happened. And sure enough, they would not only believe, they would take heed, but then they would follow after Moses. And it says here very clearly that as Moses would go to Pharaoh, so would the elders of Israel. They would stand there together and reveal to Pharaoh exactly what God said. Moses was very polite. He even used the word please. And as he revealed to Pharaoh what God desired, again, notice with me, the God, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So not only did God reveal all of these things that would happen, and we're going to discover it's going to happen exactly the way that the Lord said it. But now, what else did God reveal? Notice what verse 19 says. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So God also reveals exactly what Pharaoh would respond before it happened once again. Sounds really familiar, doesn't it? Because Jesus also, in his last several days of him being on this earth, as he prepared the disciples, he told them everything that was going to happen beforehand so that they would know how to respond. And here we see God doing the exact same thing. I already know how the nation of Israel is going to respond. I already know how Pharaoh is going to respond. And this is it. I know that Pharaoh has no fear of man. He will not agree with letting you go, with letting my people go. When he says, not even with a heavy hand or a mighty hand, this is where we get that picture of Pharaoh not fearing any man. Again, he was one of the most powerful men during that time. So no matter what came his way, there was no way that he was not going to give up anything without a fight. So now let's pick up in verse 20 to verse 22. Notice what it says. So I, speaking of God, will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And so as we look at this last section, notice God is the one who says, even though Pharaoh will not fear any man, God steps in and he tells Moses and the nation of Israel, I'm the one who's going to bring divine power down from heaven. I'm the one that's going to strike Pharaoh and all of Egypt with my mighty hand. I'm the one that is going to reveal myself to him through all of these signs and wonders. And for those of you who have already studied throughout the book of Exodus, we're going to see that God will bring 10 plagues upon Egypt. And with each one of these plagues, what is God going to do? He will completely destroy every single one of their gods that they put their trust in and the gods that they worshiped. Through God's divine power, Pharaoh will see the difference between his anger going out on the Egyptians and how God spares his people. Because in the land where they are living, nothing will happen to them while God brings all of his mighty power upon Egypt. They will witness it with their own eyes. And even the power of Moses' prayer, with every plague that will come, Pharaoh will tell him, pray to your God that all of these things will go away. And Moses would give him a time period of when it would happen. And sure enough, God would cause all of those things to go away. So Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians would witness God's mighty power. And the other thing that we see here is that as this final plague is what would release, that would give the nation of Israel the ability to leave, it would cost Pharaoh his one and only, or his firstborn son, with many others. But after that plague is when he would finally let them go. And on their way out, listen carefully, God says to his people, even though you're going to leave, you're not going to leave empty-handed. All of the things that they collected from silver, gold, and clothing, these were the items that they would eventually use, not just for themselves, but in the future building of the tabernacle, as God would give them instructions before they would enter into the promised land. So all of these things, again, some believe it would be kind of a compensation package for all the slavery, all of the mistreatment that they received, that all of this clothing and materials and these articles would cover the wages that they had during those seasons of being in Egypt. That's one picture that you can paint. But I pray that as we close this chapter, this is what I want us to, Lord willing, walk away with. And this is my prayer, that we would see and know that God, again, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just as faithful as he is to Moses here in the nation of Israel, beloved, do you understand and know that he is going to be faithful to you? And this is the truth that I pray that you would hold on to. And as we walk through chapter 3, this is why I want to develop this picture, because I want to draw your attention back. No matter what situation, no matter if you feel like you can't be used and you're out in the middle of nowhere and nobody cares about you, remember how God spoke to Moses. Remember how he met him. It was God who came to him and met him on the back of that mountain. And even when I challenged us last week to look at Psalm 139, in Psalm 139, it talks about even if you go to the darkest and deepest, most place of the earth, God's hand will be there to pick you up and pull you out. When you think of where Moses was at, and yet God came to him, spoke to him, revealed to him that he was significant, and revealed a specific calling for his life. And even after giving him his calling, God didn't just disappear. What was God's promise to him? That not only would he go with him to fulfill this plan, but God throughout this whole time, even through chapter 3, has been giving him instructions. And God's promise is that he would guide him through all of it. The moment that Moses goes to Egypt, it's not as if God's going to back away and say, now figure it out. We're going to witness God be right there with Moses all the way through. We're going to see God giving him instructions. We're going to see God, you know, revealing things to speak to his own people. God's desire was to be with them. And we're going to see him, whether it's in a pillar of fire or a pillar of a cloud. But God will be faithful to his promise and his word. And the other thing that we've seen throughout this time in chapter 3, that God revealed the end game or the end plan for the nation of Israel into bringing them into this land of that's flowing with milk and honey. This was God's perfect plan for them. And beloved, with these three examples, I pray that you would also see this is the way God desires to speak to you. I don't know your stories, but you've heard mine, I think, many times. And it wasn't until I was 21 that I gave my heart to the Lord. And as I looked back on my life, and I started kind of wondering, how early was God trying to speak? How early was God trying to get a hold of my heart? And I actually went all the way back to elementary school when one of my classmates asked me if I wanted to go to VBS. And when I asked my mom if I could go, she said no, and I was kind of happy because when I heard that VBS stand for Vacation Bible Study or School, I'm all like, I'm on vacation. All I want to do is sleep. I don't want to go to no school. But even at that young age, could that have been my burning bush? Could that have been literally the day that God was trying to get a hold of my life? And it's very possible. And even after growing up and into high school, coming across other people who had, you know, at that time, there were some who walked around with their Bibles. There were some times when people would say things like, you know, you want to come to church with us? And I would just laugh at them. Could that have been my burning bush? I don't know. But I do know this. On April 19th, God made that burning bush very clear to me. And that burning bush was not an actual bush, but it was the minister delivering the word of God. That as he spoke of who God was and what God can do in my life if I was willing to surrender, that is what caught my attention. That I would walk forward on that day and give the Lord my heart. And it may have been a little bit different for you. Maybe somebody shared Jesus one-on-one with you and prayed with you. That could have been your bush. That could have been exactly the way God laid it out for you to come into the saving knowledge of who he is. You know, it's fascinating where God will meet you. I don't know if you are familiar with this name, but his name is Ryan Reese, who is the co-founder of a ministry called the Whosoevers. You know what his burning bush was? In a hotel room getting ready to do drugs. And he literally opened up a drawer in the hotel room and pulled out a Gideon's Bible and started reading it. And on the very next day, after reading the Bible throughout the night, was on a plane with a bunch of other friends that did drugs with him, mocking him because he had a Bible in his hand. See, there's some pretty crazy places where God's burning bush will appear to grab a hold of people's hearts. And when God does break through the hardness and the blinders that the enemy has set, here's where he comes and he now wants to speak and guide us. And where do we get that guidance from? Beloved, it's the word. It's us digging in to the instructions and his commands that he gives us. It's us taking the time to, again, not just, you know, open up our Bible and read a portion and then close it and forget about it. Can you imagine how difficult it may have been for Moses and many of the people in the Old Testament who didn't have their Bible? For us, we can go on to Google and type in, hey, where's this verse at? You just give a little bit of the verse and it gives it to you right then and there. But how many of us would survive if one day, all of a sudden, a law came into effect and they took away our possessions? They took away our cell phones. They took away our Bibles. How well would we survive? How well do we know the word of God that would remain in our heart to keep us following Jesus? And the greatest blessing that we have is, again, we have it available. We have God's word, and as he speaks to us, he will reveal his plan to us. He will reveal your calling. He will share with you what his desire is of you. And in the same way that he promised Moses, I will certainly be with you, he's made us that same promise. And as we walk with the Lord, as he gives us his Holy Spirit, each one of us is going to have a specific thing that he's going to ask us to do. And as we do it as unto the Lord, again, this is where others will have an opportunity. That in the same way that Moses went and told the nation of Israel, this is what God told me to tell you, as we just pass on what God tells us, that now we're giving other people an opportunity to hear the gospel. We're giving people an opportunity to hear the truth about who God really is. And of course, the other amazing thing that we have, the blessing is we know the end story. We know that there will be a day when God says enough is enough, and he will come for all those who love him. And on that day, listen, there is going to be a day of celebrating for those who know him, and for those who don't, many who thought they knew him will realize that they really didn't, and they're going to go through some craziness. If we think what is happening right now is bad, when the rapture of the church takes place, it is going to get worse. And I hope and pray that we would see that tonight, again, that we can trust the Lord, that he will be faithful. And again, I know that with every one of us, God wants to be the great I am for you. What do I mean by that? That he is willing to be that self-sufficient one, the one who will always be with you and to be there in your time of need. And some of you might be saying, well, you know, I went through some madness and he wasn't there for me. I've been through so much already. I don't know if I could take any more. Each one of us is going to be different. But I do know this, that whatever your lot in life is, remember that God's promise was that he will always be with us. He never promised that we would not go through hardships. And a part of his promise and a part of us going through those hardships, though the enemy may want to use them to cause you to doubt God, God uses them to build your character. God uses them to put you in specific places where maybe there's other people suffering in the same way that don't have any hope, that God would want you to share of your hope. God is willing to be the great I am, but what's our part? We need to trust him. I want to encourage you, write these verses down. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is God's promise to us. Romans 8, 28. We know that God will work all things for the good of those who love him. Again, regardless of what we go through, as ugly as it may seem right now, the end game, the end result of whatever we go through, the end of our time here on this earth will be to be with him for all eternity. I believe it's also in 1 Peter chapter 1, or it might be 2 Peter chapter 1, but in the very beginning intro of Peter's letter, he makes this comment, and it says that even though we'll go through various trials here on this earth, they are temporary compared to the gift of eternity. So even though we may experience some hardships, beloved, remember there's a sweet reward that's yet to come. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus told the disciples all those things throughout the night. Why? Because he said, in this world, you will go through tribulation. You will go through difficulty. You will go through troubles here on this earth, but you could be of good cheer. Why? Because when you place your trust in Christ, we know that he has overcome the world. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall make your path straight. This is God's promise. Once again, even when things don't make sense, even when our own understanding, we don't get it, we have to fall back on what we do know. God is God, and we're not. God will show mercy to who he desires to show mercy, and God's favor will be upon those who he shows favor to. But the reality is if you trust him, he will work things out in your life, though you and I may not be able to see it. The last one, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, tells us that no matter what we go through, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, beloved, these are the things that I pray we would see as we get ready to go through God's commissioning of Moses. In the next several chapters, we're going to see him give at least four or five different excuses why he can't do what God's asking him to do. And I pray that we would not respond in that way with our calling. I pray that as the moment that God speaks to us, that we too would be able to be excited about the things that God's doing. And so my greatest prayer tonight and what we just covered, again, knowing that you can trust God, he is that great I am. He's going to continue to guide you and speak to you. He is going to continue, listen carefully, to give you that ability to know the end game, the end plan, and that is to be with him for all eternity. Can I get an amen for that? Let's pray. Worship team, go ahead and come on up. Father, I want to thank you so much for tonight, and I do want to thank you for this portion of scripture as we, Lord, went through Moses' commissioning. And I know that we're not done. I know that, God, you're going to continue to reveal more to us. But even in this chapter, Lord, of seeing how faithful you are, may we today continue to trust you. May we today continue to, Lord, surrender our hearts to you. And Lord, whatever means that you need to get a hold of our attention, so be it. And as we take heed, as we listen to your voice, God, that you would just lead us in the very plans that you have for us. I pray that we would not make any excuses. I pray that we would not think that this world has something far greater than what you're offering. I pray, God, that we would, again, see the beauty that when we do follow you, there is a 180-degree difference. There's a change in our heart from the things that we thought we needed to seeing what really matters most. And so, God, would you please help all of us as we give you our hearts? We want you to have full control. And we desire, Lord, to reveal to this world who you truly are. And that is, you are the one and only true God, the creator of all things, the very one who has always existed, the very one who created everything out of nothing, the one who has an amazing plan to spend all of eternity with those who love him, and the very one who has demonstrated his love to this whole world. God, your greatest desire is to redeem what's been broken. And I just pray that today we would see that you are our ultimate reward. So would you please bless the rest of this evening? If there are any here that are struggling and hurting, that in the next few minutes they would be willing to receive some prayer. That we would be willing to continue to let you speak to our heart as we worship you. And so, Lord, stir in us a heart that loves you. Stir in us a hunger for more of your word. Would you stir in us, Lord, a desire to do your will? So thank you again for tonight. Would you please just bless each and every heart here? And it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. As we worship the Lord with a couple of songs, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to be over here on one side. Dion, would you be willing to come on up and pray on this side? So if anybody would need any prayer tonight, Dion will be on one side and I'll be on the other. And so this.
A thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard a tender whisper of love
God, we come before you once again. We're grateful, God, for this time of worship that we were able to have in the time of your word, in your word, God. And Lord, we just pray, God, that as we call you our great redeemer, our refuge, God, our guider, our protector, Lord, our great I am, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us remember that daily, Lord, whenever we're going through maybe trials, Lord, or maybe when we are living out our faith, God, a lot of the times it requires us going through difficult situations, circumstances in life, God, but Lord, that's just part of the growth process, Lord. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to shape us and mold us, Lord, into the men and women you want us to be, God, and continue to help us, Lord, to shine your light, Lord, and give us boldness, Lord, to share our hope and our joy that we have in you, Jesus. And so, God, we thank you so much for this night, Lord. And all of God's people say, amen. Well, may the Lord continue to bless you and fill you with his joy and peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus. Amen. Have a good night, guys.